What a day this is, for 50 days after Easter, the resurrected Christ appeared to the disciples and then ascended into heaven. And now the Holy Spirit is given, the Advocate, the Comforter, God present with us always to empower and to sustain. On the great day of Pentecost, this day called the birthday of the church, the faithful from all over the inhabited world had gathered in one place, and God poured out the Holy Spirit upon them all. And there was so much energy and power in that place that day that they said it was like the wind was blowing right through them, and the air itself was electrified with what looked like tongues of fire. Just as Jesus said would happen, God sent the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, the church was born of water and the Spirit, the church created by God to be the body of Christ throughout the earth. The church, blessed, forgiven, sanctified in the waters of baptism. The church, empowered, enlivened, infused with the Holy Spirit. The church, opening hearts, opening minds, opening doors, that the world might behold the love and peace and justice of God available for each one and for them all. The newly born church was something quite remarkable indeed from the very beginning. We hear that gathered in that place on the first Pentecost were devout believers from every nation. All the languages and cultures of the world were represented. And when the Spirit came to them, lo and behold, they spoke and they all heard and understood, each in their own language. All the divisions of language, of culture, of homeland and tradition were superseded and made whole. God's intended beloved community was reunited, the bond of unity restored, the cloth of the fabric of life mended. The church, one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. As Alejandro read it so well for us, could you see them all in your mind's eye? That rich and beautiful and widely diverse assemblage of God's people, the Medes and the Parthians, the Elamites and the Cappadocians? They were all there. They didn't have any trouble completely understanding one another. Today, we might say, the Salvadoreños, the Samoans, the Mexicans, the Vietnamese, the Armenians, the Greeks and the Filipinos, the Jamaicans and the Anglos, the Chinese, the Koreans, North and South, the Israelis and the Palestinians, the Kenyans and the Egyptians, the South Africans and the Brazilians, they were all there. So many more. And they were united in one love, one hope. And as Alejandro read, did you hear another kind of diversity too? The old and the young, they were there. And there was a place for everyone. Your young people shall prophesy. Your youth shall see visions, and your elders shall dream dreams. In the language of the Bible, this means that the dreams of the elders will be filled with messages from God, and the eyes and hearts of the youth will be open to seeing God. God will reveal to them all, old and young, through the stories of their dreams and the insights of their hearts, what God intends for their lives and for this earth. God is working in us all, old and young, and everything in between, to bring forth a new future, a future with hope. How will we hear it? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, the Bible says. They hear God speaking to them, and as they speak and live that word, they become part of the great chain of generations, keeping God's people on track, faithful, serving God's people, being the hope. They shall speak God's word for our time. Did we not see this for ourselves in the faces of our confirmands last Sunday? Oh, the imagery and the energy of Pentecost is wild and strong. Not only to dazzle and get our attention, but to draw us into the new identity God is creating for us. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, power as of wind and fire, is breathing new life into us and forging us into this body ever new, the church. I am making of you a new people, God is saying through all this. Through the Holy Spirit, I am reviving you and unifying you to become one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit charges us up with the power to be Christ's disciples in the world, for the world. But what are disciples? What are we to be? How are we to be in ministry to all the world? Let's look at four ways. We disciples are to be, first of all, evangelists, sharing the good news of God in Christ wherever we go. The good news that God knows us and loves us still. What a blessing this is for us each and all. How we long to hear it and receive it, this love, as we go through this life, especially those who are heavy laden, those whose self-esteem is sinking low, those who mourn, those whose hope is wavering and weak. And we offer good news for those who are suffering anywhere, from the scourge of poverty or homelessness or war, those whose homes have been swept away by tornadoes or floods. This is the message of God's great good news that we disciple evangelists proclaim with our words and with our lives. God knows us, loves us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit will heal us and set us free. Next, we disciples are to be involved in the work of ministry. We are called and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be those who love, affirm, heal, bless, and encourage. We are called to set one another free from whatever keeps us from being the fullness of who God has created us to be. In ministry, as the hands and feet of Christ in the world now, we disciple ministers are called to reach out in love to all the people of our community, especially mindful of the needs of those often most vulnerable, children, youth, seniors. And disciples are sent forth in mission. Those first disciples were sent out to Rome and across the Mediterranean to all the farthest corners of the earth. Still today, the Spirit's call to mission sends us from this congregation, the young and the not so young, to New Orleans and to Haiti. Through the larger United Methodist Church, the Spirit sends us to Nepal and to everywhere in this world where there is need of any kind. It sends us into hospitals and classrooms and prisons. It sets us side by side with the homeless and with those nearing the end of their sojourn here on earth. In mission, we build houses, dig wells, we give books, we send health kits, we stock the food pantry, we sew quilts, we tutor kids. In mission, we disciples share the love of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit with neighbors near and far. Finally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, disciples are called to be prophetic. Prophecy happens when the people of God speak up for what is right and true. Prophecy happens when the people of God insist that all people be treated equally and fairly. Prophecy happens when the people of God call for love and compassion in every situation of human suffering and need. Prophecy happens when, through God's people, God calls us back to our deepest values and most cherished commitments amidst the temptations and distractions of our day. On that first Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus Christ were given power to be evangelists, to be in ministry, to serve in mission, and to be prophets. All that, the saving work of God in Christ, that work might continue in the world for the transformation of the world. Now, how did those first disciples respond in order to be open and receptive to this life-changing power? They prayed. They prayed mightily and unceasingly that God's Spirit might enter into their lives and warm their hearts and fill them with love and power. They stuck together. They were of one accord, not claiming more or thinking more highly of themselves than of others. The hallmarks of their community, as we have seen, were understanding, sharing, mutual trust, self-sacrifice, affirmation, and joy. Finally, they accepted responsibility for being Christ's body in the world, to live so that people would look at them and see God's love, see a sign of God's reign. They chose, those first disciples, to commit themselves to live as people who believe that God's will can be accomplished in this world. And they determined to stay together, to pray together, to worship together, and to serve together. They committed together to be the church, so that God's purposes from everlasting to everlasting would be made manifest through them, while God gave them life and breath, wind and fire. We are the heirs of those first Pentecost disciples. We stand on their shoulders. We live by their prayers. We are the generations they dreamed for the future. For whatever challenges we face today in our time, whatever changes we experience in church and in society, we know that God's word is true, and God's promises are sure. The Holy Spirit charges us up with all the power of wind and fire to be Christ's disciples in the world for the world. The Apostle Paul describes it this way to the early disciples in Ephesus. Many of you will recognize these words as my favorite benediction. This is Paul's testimony to the church of the awesome, life-saving, world-transforming wind and fire power of the Holy Spirit. By the power at work within us, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. May the power of the Holy Spirit renew us this day, lift us up, and send us forth. Amen.